All right, hey. So we have been in a series called See for Yourself. See for Yourself. All right, I spoke 2 weeks ago. Ryan came in and filled in for me last week because I was super sick. So he did a great job. Can we just, he's not here, but can we get up for Ryan for filling in? Here we go. I know that he's not here, but he'll hear this when he listens to the podcast. And so he'll be able to listen and hear you cheer for him. So also, by the way, we have a podcast. So if you're not listening to that, you should do that. So we record all of our messages in here and we put them up on the podcast. So if you ever miss a week, you can go ahead, go back and listen. Or you can even share those with your family or your friends. It's a really great tool that we have that's available to us. So really fast. Let me dig into this. So we have been talking about see for yourself. Really, the whole thing kind of stemmed from, right, Reading Rainbow. You guys remember Reading Rainbow? We talked about that. That at the end of Reading Rainbow, the host would always like read the first part of a book and then say, but don't take my word for it. All right, and that was, I hated that. It was the worst because then I had to actually go get the book myself and finish it because he would read it so well. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. What happened? And then he would leave you at like a cliffhanger. And the purpose was for you to go and actually read the book yourself. And so for us as believers, as Christians, really that should be kind of the way I would hope that Sunday morning feels a little bit, to where we dig into Scripture and we look at what God's Word is saying, but then we're like, man, I want to know more. I want to know what it says about this or the rest of the story that maybe we only looked at a little glimpse of a story this morning. I want to know what happens with the rest of David's life or what happened to Moses after the burning bush or what's going on with this Noah guy or what happened to all these prophets and all this stuff. I would hope that we would want to know for ourselves. And last week, we even looked at the importance of knowing and having a good idea of what's in the Bible because people all the time are either taking it out of context or potentially teaching things that can be false. And if you don't know what's in here, anybody could stand up here and say, hey, here's a verse, 2 Hesitations 1:17. If you pray really hard and you do 5 things like this and you go to church at least 10 times out of the next 3 months, you're going to get $1 million. And that's what 2 Hesitation says because it's a Bible verse and I said so. Right? Like that's a really extreme example. But if you guys don't know, how many of you didn't realize that 2 Hesitation wasn't a real book? You don't have to raise your hand. It's okay. You're fine. I shouldn't ask you to raise your hand. Everybody look at me. Anyways. So this morning, we're going to be talking about baptism, actually, which is convenient because we're baptizing people here in just a couple minutes, in just a very short amount of time. So baptism, here's a way for me to kind of convey this to you. Whenever I was in high school, I lived in Texas, and I was probably just a couple hours away from Dallas, Texas. And in Dallas, about 8 to 10 years ago, the city of Dallas and some other people dumped like billions of dollars into this brand new stadium in Dallas, right? So the Dallas Cowboys play there, and it's like this huge stadium for the Dallas Cowboys to play in. It's obnoxious, all right? So it had just opened, and my friend was like, hey, there's a soccer game happening at this stadium. We should go and watch a soccer game, which I thought was funny that the first event in this giant football stadium was a soccer game. I don't know. It was just silly to me. And so this team from England had come over, and they were playing another group. It was Chelsea. So Chelsea was there, and they were playing another team. And I went because it was exciting and whatever. And I got caught up in everything. And I ended up buying a Chelsea jersey. Like, and before this, I didn't know who Chelsea was. I didn't know any of their players on their team. It was just like the soccer club from over in England. And I was like, I don't know, the jerseys kind of look cool, so I'll buy one. So I bought one, and I ended up going home, and I like loved this jersey. I wore it around all the time that summer. But then everywhere that if I was in like a restaurant or whatever, people who also actually loved the Chelsea soccer team would like come up to me and be like, oh my gosh, you got the jersey? Did you see that last game? Did you, whatever, blah, 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 wow. Did you see that goal that they made? That was amazing. And I'm like, I just bought this shirt because I liked it. I don't know what you're talking about. But since I bought the jersey and I wore it around, I was identified as a fan of this team in the same way that some of you, you wear your Browns jerseys or your Cavs jerseys, or where's Jackson at? Where'd he go? There he is. He's got the LeBron jersey on, right? So it's like clearly a Cavs fan. Other people wear different jerseys and are kind of identified by other people as, okay, yeah, they're a fan of that team. Like, you see that it's kind of this outward identifying trait that people have, or that they are able to show others, that identifies them with a team or group of people. And that's really a lot of what baptism is. Baptism is a symbol. It's a way that we show other people, hey, I'm on Jesus' team. I believe in him. I know what he's done for me. I believe that he died on the cross for all of my sins. I believe that he's covered me and he's offered me new life. And in that, he was raised from the dead. And because of that, I have a chance to live a life to the full. He's forgiven me. And I'm pumped about that. And so really, baptism is kind of this like super awesome way. It's not like you can buy a jersey and be like, baptism jersey. I'm on Jesus' team. But in the same sense, it is a little bit like that, because we get to go into the main room and in front of friends and family and as many people as we possibly can. That's why baptism is such an important thing to be done in front of others. It's such an important thing to be done in front of others. And we go in there and it's really like, man, I want to show everybody that I'm a believer, that I am a follower of Christ, that I have been rescued by him. And so it's this really cool outward expression of our decision to follow Jesus. And I think that there are some misconceptions about baptism. So in the first place, if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And while you guys are going there, give you guys a little bit of background. The word baptize in Scripture, or also baptizo, it's like a really cool Greek word, actually means this. Baptize actually, the Greek word literally means to dip or immerse. To dip or to immerse. All right, and some people take that a little too literally, like maybe a little too far, like this guy. So I don't know what's happening here, but I love like the really emotional music of people just getting RKO'd into the baptistry, right? Like, so this next one is my favorite. He gets all up in there. Yeah. So, yeah, just like really emotional, really, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening there, all right? I don't know what's going on. So Josh, you better be ready, okay? He's like, no, please. So the word baptizo means to dip or to immerse. That didn't look like dipping. That was like... I love the emotional music behind it. I don't know what's going on there. So Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. A lot of you guys know this as the Great Commission. All right, so Jesus has come. He's been crucified. He's risen, and he's like, man, I want to commission you guys now to go out. But here's what he tells them. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so while he tells people to go out teaching and preaching, also within that command is to baptize people. And so we're commanded by Jesus that as people become followers, as people accept Jesus, as they say, I'm choosing to follow Jesus, a part of that, of what happens in that is it should be followed by baptism, right? So baptism isn't something in and of itself that saves you. Like if you're like, I'm not a follower of Jesus, hey, let me go and like get dunked in a pool and then I come out and I'm all better. So there's nothing magical about the water. There is nothing inherently special about the pool that we are about to use to baptize somebody. We could baptize Josh and Kendra in like a horse trough or in a lake or in the river, which is actually where Jesus was baptized. And it's in that that we are saying, man, I identify with Christ. I am on his team, and he has rescued me, and he has saved me. And so I'm actually, Marissa, if you want to swing up, and I'm going to kind of close out here. And I know that we're flying through this. But the thing is that baptism is an identification. It's an identifying mark that we say, I am a part of what Jesus has done. And so it's symbolic in the way that as you go under the water and come back out, it is saying, man, I am buried with Christ, but then I am also alive with him in his resurrection. It's no longer Christ who lives in me, it's no longer I who live in me, but it's Christ who lives in and through me, and it's by his power that I'm rescued and then I'm saved. Does that make sense? So there's nothing magical about the water in and of itself. This is an outward symbol and a celebration, really, because those who have been baptized, it's you're saying, man, I have already been saved. I have already been rescued, and this is a great way for me to tell as many people as I can about it. And this now, like, you are marked as a member of the community, of the church body, of saying, man, I'm a part of what's going on here. I want to give my life to this. Does that make sense to all of you? Are you guys, if you're with me, say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. All right, hey, so part of what's so cool about baptism is that we get to celebrate in it together. And it's something that we get to do all as a group. So we're gonna sing together, and we're gonna go ahead and get ready to head out here in just a couple minutes. And then we're just gonna keep going from there. So would you guys stand? Let's sing together, and then we'll go from there, all right?